Yeah, so our second reading, as Andy said, is Proverbs 27, which is found on page 663 in the Church Bibles. And we're reading verses 1 to 17. So that's Proverbs 27 on page 663. And before we read, let us pray together. Lord God, thank you that the unfolding of your word brings wisdom, light, and understanding. As we read this passage now and hear it preached by Matthew, we pray that you would make us truly wise. And we pray this for your glory. Amen. Amen. So Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you, and not your own mouth, an outsider, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Thanks, Steph. And Steph and I were discussing earlier, I think it's okay to laugh when we're reading the Proverbs. Some of them are meant to be funny. You should have a handout as we come to this topic of friendship, which will just help you follow along. And whilst a lot of the Proverbs we're going to look at come from that chapter that Steph read, we'll also be moving around. A lot of the Proverbs we'll look at are in the handout, which should save us a bit of time. I want to start tonight with a quiz question. Okay, so see if you can recognize the following lyrics. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Anybody? From Friends. That's a theme tune from Friends, the 90s TV show. Apparently, it's the most popular TV show still amongst, I think it's 5 to 15-year-olds or something like that. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? It focuses on six friends living in New York City. But actually, the ups and downs of friendship aren't just good material for Hollywood, are they? They affect all of us. Friendship can be one of the great joys of life, but it can also be a source of deep pain and frustration, the pain of loneliness, the hurt of broken friendships, the confusion of mismatched expectations in friendships, wanting to be in a group of friends but feeling excluded. And loneliness is a serious problem in our society today. So listen to Mother Teresa's comment. It's down there on your sheets. The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. Now, she wrote those words in 1995, but if anything, since then, the disease has become an epidemic. The BBC recently conducted a loneliness survey, which questioned 55,000 people in the UK, asked whether they experienced loneliness, 27% of those over 75 said they felt lonely often or very often. But remarkably, among 16 to 24-year-olds, that increased to 40%. This isn't a problem that is going away. It's one of the great paradoxes of modern life, isn't it? That through the internet, we're connected to more people than ever before, and yet we've never felt so disconnected. Through Facebook, we have more friends than ever before, and yet we've never felt more alone. Well, as we come to Proverbs, God takes us for a walk around the block, just as my dad used to do when I was growing up. And in Proverbs, we find God's wisdom on friendship, the one who made us, the one who knows how we work, and how we'll live well in his world. And the first thing we see is that there are different types of friendships. One of the problems with Facebook is that it classes everybody we know as our friend. There's no distinction. And actually, as a result, we can have false expectations. If a relationship doesn't become deep, lifelong friendship, we can be disappointed or feel let down. Well, the book of Proverbs is far more realistic and recognizes that there are all sorts of healthy human relationships. And actually, we'll have very few deep, lifelong friendships. So throughout the book, a number of different words are used to describe human relationships. Friend, neighbor, companion. You know, so there's the neighbor that we live alongside. We know their name. We chat to them over the wall every now and then. We've probably taken in a few parcels over the last few months. And then at the other end of the spectrum is the deep, lifelong friend who you go to in a crisis, who knows us inside out, who's stuck with us through good and bad. So look down at Proverbs 18:24 on your sheets. One who has unreliable friends, or in some translations, many companions, soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, it's tempting to fall into the trap of wanting loads of friends. But Proverbs says actually a few good friends is far better than loads of people who know our name, turn up for the parties, but are nowhere to be seen when things get hard. A YouGov survey in 2015 asked men to say how many friends, if any, outside their home, they would discuss serious topics with, like worries about money or work or health. And just over half said two or fewer. One in eight said none. And actually, Proverbs is realistic. We won't have loads of deep, lifelong friendships, and that's okay. That doesn't make other relationships unhealthy or invalid. In fact, actually, Proverbs urges us to respect boundaries in different types of relationships. See, if we try and force every relationship into deep, lifelong friendship, actually, it'll get us into trouble. So look down at Proverbs 25:17, maybe a surprising one. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. See, we need different kinds of relationships. Neighbors, colleagues, acquaintances, and close friends. Every person we know can't be a close friend. And actually, acknowledging that can bring a certain freedom, I think. And let me just apply this for a minute to us here at All Saints. Because it's very easy to have unrealistic expectations of our relationships here. We can't have deep friendships with everyone in the church. And actually, that's okay. Now, obviously, if we don't have any deep friendships, that's the problem, isn't it? But it's okay that there are some people in the church family we don't know as well. That doesn't mean everything is superficial or false or invalid. I know some people really miss the days when the church was smaller and it was easier to know people a bit better. But Proverbs is very realistic. We can't be close friends with everyone, and actually, that's okay. The problem with that expectation, the sense that the only valuable kind of relationships or community are where we're open with everyone, we know everyone at a deep level, the problem is it's unrealistic, isn't it? And actually, normally, it either leads to us being hypercritical of our church family or continuously frustrated and disappointed. Proverbs urges us, really, to be content with a few good friends, and not to expect every relationship to end up there. Now, having said that, a good friend is a great blessing. And actually, that's where we're going to go now. If you flip over in your handouts, you'll see that Proverbs gives us a portrait of what a good friend looks like. Four C's, and I can't take any credit for these. These headings come from Derek Kidner's excellent little commentary on Proverbs. The first characteristic of a good friend is constancy. They are there, good times and bad, available, committed, faithful. And this is a widely recognized aspect of true friendship. So this is from Toy Story. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. It's the hard times that show us who our true friends are. Often it's in the rough times that we really need them. So look down at Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. There are people we really enjoy hanging out with, who are great fun when we're in a good place, but actually nowhere to be seen when things are tough. And Proverbs says the good friend is there in the trough as well as in the peaks, willing to sit with you in tears as well as popping the champagne. Think about who you'd consider to be your closest friends. I expect that many of those friendships will have been tried and tested in the fires of adversity. The good friend is there in depression or grief or sickness or disappointment. Well, the second characteristic is candor. A good friend is open, honest, willing to say hard things to us. Look at Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Do you see what this is saying? None of us like hearing hard things, do we? It hurts. But when hard things come from the mouth of a friend, we can trust them. Ultimately, they're words for our good, for healing and growth, rather than to hurt or destroy. And actually, there's another side to that. Somebody being nice to us all the time, always saying what we want to hear, doesn't make them our friend. Actually, often people who are against us will flatter us in order to soften or hide the blow. A good friend will say what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And there's a security and an openness in deep friendships, a vulnerability that allows us to speak the truth in love, to go under the surface, even when that's difficult. And Proverbs says that's of great value. Constancy, candor, counsel. A good friend speaks into our lives with helpful advice and direction. So look at Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. There's times in life, aren't there, where we don't know what to do. We don't know which direction to turn. We're overwhelmed, floundering maybe. And what a joy it is in those moments, how uplifting, to have a friend to turn to. Someone to ring, maybe, to talk things through with. Someone who will sit and talk over coffee or a pint. And sometimes that will be uplifting, won't it? Encouragement. I found it really helpful when someone, it's very simple really, just explained that encouragement means to give courage. And a good friend does that. They give us courage to keep going, to press on, to step out. But actually, the counsel of a good friend will also challenge us. So look at Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. On our own, we go blunt, we drift, and we need good friends to push us on. In terms of counsel, maybe we can think of it this way. Good friends improve us. Their influence pushes us forward. They add to us. They draw us out. They embolden us. There's some friends, aren't there, who simply reinforce our weaknesses. We go to them with a grumble, and they simply grumble along with us. But there are others who lift us and who shape us. We come away from time with them with a fresh perspective, sharpened and helped. Constancy, candor, counsel, compassion. Look at Proverbs 25:20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. There is a friend who only makes things worse, despite their good intentions. See, there's nothing wrong with songs, is there? But there's a time and a place. And there's a wrong way of doing counsel and candour, which lacks tact. It doesn't pay attention to the other person. Perhaps that's someone in a moment of great grief and sorrow. And someone appears with a kind of stock Bible study that they've preloaded, rather than actually sitting at the bed first. Perhaps it's when we're overwhelmed and someone chooses that moment to run down a list of kind of 15 things we're not doing very well and how they think we should fix them. Those things, they might be right, but the timing is wrong, isn't it? The good friend realizes where the other person is at and responds accordingly. The good friend is compassionate. They pay attention. And their candor and counsel come out of a loving concern and a long-term commitment. So there's the portrait. It's a wonderful portrait, isn't it, of what a good friend looks like. And there's two very obvious implications that flow out of that. You can see these on the next page: finding good friends and being a good friend. Now, when it comes to who we associate with, Proverbs says, choose carefully, because our friends influence us for good or for bad. In the 1950s, Solomon Ash developed a series of experiments to measure peer pressure. The participant was in a room with seven other people, and they were shown two cards. One had a single line on it, and the other three lines. One was the same length as that on the other card, one clearly longer, one clearly shorter. And then they were then asked which line matched. And under normal conditions, the error rate was about 1%, and it was obvious. What the participants didn't know was that the other seven were paid actors, and they'd been directed to give the wrong answer. And in those conditions, when they did 12 experiments, 75% of people gave at least one wrong answer. They went with the crowd over their convictions. The influence of others is very powerful. And Proverbs realizes that, whether for good or for bad. So look at Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Your friends influence you. Parents will be very aware of this, that the crowd your child gets into at school matters, has an impact. And in many ways, I think it's very easy for us never to really move on from how friendships worked in the playground. You know, everyone's competing to be friends with the cool kids, the popular kids. And it can be a bit like that still today, can't it? How do we choose who to invest in when it comes to friendships? Is it the popular, the fun, the rich, the important? Proverbs says that's not really what true friendship is all about. I think Samwise Ganji is a good example of this, from Lord of the Rings, for those who are familiar with that. Now, on paper, Samwise Ganji certainly isn't the most exciting character, is he? You know, relative to Aragorn or Legolas or Boromir, he's not the one you'd pick out of the pack. He's the sort of gardener that happened to be around when they were making the plan. But actually, he's just the one Frodo needs. It's actually Samwise Gamgee who's so often there for Frodo, in the hard times as well as the good times, talking stuff through, spurring him on, even saving his life. It's Samwise who's still by his side at the end. And when it comes to finding good friends, Proverbs would say, don't be distracted by the flashy. Focus on what matters: constancy, candor, counsel, compassion. This is why close Christian friends are so important. People who influence us, whose influence on us is to push us to follow Jesus, to shape us more in his likeness. Maybe you're struggling for good friends. Well, think of the people that most help you to live for Jesus, who most lead you back to him, who most shape you in his image. And I'd encourage you to start there. Nourish and foster those relationships. But there is a second implication. It's not just finding good friends, but being a good friend. And at this point, let me just make a brief comment. I think when it comes to this topic of friendship, it's very easy for us to focus on the responsibility of others to us and to ignore our responsibilities to others. We can lament the fact that we don't have the good friends Proverbs is talking about. Maybe we can list off all the ways our friends have let us down and fallen short when we deserve more. We can criticize and accuse people for not being the friends we want them to be. And at this stage, I just want to say, be careful. You know, some of that might be true, but actually we can't control the behavior of others. But what we can control is our own behavior. And friendship always has two sides, doesn't it? And we're also called to be good friends to others. So if we're going to focus on something, let's focus on being a good friend to those around us. Who are our friends who are going through hard times? And what does it mean to stick by their side in this season? Are you willing to say hard things to those around you? If you crave openness, that often starts with making yourself vulnerable to others. Will you have the courage to say what people need to hear, not just what they want to hear? How are you speaking into the lives of those around you? Would your friends say that your influence is shaping them more and more into the likeness of Jesus, is sharpening them? Are you helping them become more like Christ? Are you compassionate in your friendships? Have you taken the time to really listen? Or are we steamrolling our way through? Now, many of us will be disappointed in our friendships, but I'd encourage you to start with what is in our control, to be a good friend to others, and trust that the Lord will bear fruit through that. Now, you'll see on the sheet a number of things that harm friendships: thoughtlessness, flattery, gossip, derision. And you can think about those more in your own time, the references are there. But one thing that helps friendships is grace. So look at Proverbs 17:9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. People will let us down. People will get stuff wrong. People will hurt us, just as we will do to them. But if we want to foster love, we need to learn to cover over offenses, to give people grace, rather than blowing problems up. Now, there are some hard things that need to be raised by the candid friend. But for every one of those, there are many that need to be covered up and left in the past. And this is why I think no friendship will ultimately grow deep without forgiveness. You will hurt your friends. They will hurt you. The question is, what will you do when that happens? Now, I don't know where you're at after hearing all that. Perhaps we're thankful right now for the friends that God has given us. Proverbs is really clear that good friends are a great blessing. Perhaps we're left longing for good friends, or frustrated where our friendships fall short. And it's worth saying at this point that human friendships will always disappoint us. They will never be all that we want them to be. We'll always be let down by friends, just as we let friends down. Actually, whoever you are, whether you're a Christian or not tonight, you're longing for intimacy. You're longing for commitment. You're longing for compassion. You're longing for companionship. These longings will never be fully met in human friendships, because you and I have been created for a deeper relationship, a greater friendship. We've been made to know God. And in fact, if we don't ultimately satisfy those desires in God, if we look to our human friendships to fulfill all our longings for intimacy, all our longings for commitment, all our longings for compassion, actually we'll end up crushing those friendships with a weight that they cannot bear. And it's at this stage that we come to the best friend. Look down at John 15 on your sheets. This is on the back of the sheets. And listen to these wonderful words of Jesus to those who follow him. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is a remarkable reality, isn't it? That Jesus, God the Son, should choose to call you a friend. What a privilege. I mean, talk about friends in high places. And Jesus is the best friend. He's constant. Jesus is always available. No human friend can be with us 24/7. But wherever we are, whatever is going on, we can come to Jesus in prayer. He is never too busy for us. And he is entirely committed. He's shown that by laying down his life for us. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's promised to remain with us to the very end of the age. He's with us in the highs and in the deepest lows, where everyone else has given up. And he's promised that nothing can separate us from him and his love, not even death. See, at death, even the best human friend has to let go of our hand. But Jesus can come with us. And Jesus is candid. Anyone who's been a Christian for more than a few days is aware that Jesus' words are often hard to hear, aren't they? He doesn't always say what we want, but he tells us what we need to hear in love. We can trust him. And incredibly, this openness isn't just one way. Jesus shares himself with us. We're not servants who just follow commands blindly. No, Jesus shares the master's business with us. He tells us what God is up to in the world, what God cares about, and he brings us in on it. He draws us in to work alongside him. And Jesus' friendship is marked by counsel. He lifts us up when we need encouragement. He sharpens us and directs us. Jesus perfectly lived out God's wisdom, didn't he? And ultimately, that's where his friendship leads us. See, if any friend is going to rub off on us, if any friend is going to form us in their image, let it be Jesus. Jesus is compassionate. He sees us at our worst. He sees all our faults, our flaws, our sin, our darkness. And yet, instead of deriding us or rejecting us, he lays down his life for us. Jesus is the friend who will not break a bruised reed, who will not snuff out a smoldering wick. Jesus covers over our offences with his own blood. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, Christian, you have the best friend. And yet how slow we are to enjoy his friendship. How slow we are to spend time with him. How slow we are to turn to him in adversity. How slow we are to seek his counsel when we're confused. How slow we are to pour out our hearts to him. How slow we are to let him speak to us and influence us. Many of us are frustrated by human friendships. And I hope that what Proverbs says will be really useful in nurturing and fostering healthy and fruitful human relationships and friendships. But ultimately, might our frustrations push us to enjoy the best friend that we've been remarkably given in Jesus? Might we enjoy his friendship in experience rather than just on paper, in life, not just in theory? And the more we enjoy and nurture our friendship with Jesus, actually, the more we'll be able to enjoy the friendships that we've been given, because they won't be crushed with the unbearable weight of fulfilling all our desires for intimacy and commitment. And the more we enjoy our friendship with Jesus, the freer we'll be to be a good friend to others as he shapes us in his image. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom on friendships. Lord, we thank you that you know better than we know ourselves how we work best, how we relate to others best. We thank you for this wonderful picture of the good friend. And Lord, how we pray that you would help us to find good friends. Lord, provide, help us to nurture relationships which sharpen and encourage and lead us more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be a good friend to those around us. But most of all, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you remarkably that tonight, if we are following him and trusting in him, he calls us friend. And we pray more and more that we would enjoy his friendship and that we would be shaped and formed into his image and likeness. We pray these things in his name and for his glory. Amen.